Following episode contains dialogue about rape and a consensual sex scene, in addition to violence and explicit language.
Psychopompus, A New Mythology, Book 1, Chapter 3, Phaedo.
In a cave somewhere in Greece, where the Ionian Sea endlessly batters against the rocks, Medusa waits. She laughs at the crack in the wall. Apollo's son, though high in the sky, spurns her, leaving her cave in darkness, gloom. She waits until night, when Artemis's moon illuminates her. She screams at Poseidon's terrible whispers, which rise from the sea to renew her hatred. The snakes of her hair stay turned towards the cave's entrance to startle the souls out from the heroes who come for her. Or perhaps they wait for Hermes, who visits from time to fleeting time. Most of all, she waits for Thanatos, who knows all names but hers.
To Poseidon, ignorant lord of the sea, I remember your flood on the floor of the terrible goddess's temple. It is because of you I am here. To Athena, so-called wise and just, I remember your eyes of disgust as you turned your back on someone who swore her life to you. It is because of you I am here. I wait in the dark. Poseidon, listening to you beat seawater against this cave, like a scream from the mouth of darkness, like the scream of horses on their hooves. You are a rolling thunder, and I shudder like shudders in your breath. I look to the floor and see the memory of a goddess, Athena, who beat my walls, who battered my roof, who slammed against me like a body hitting the rocks below. In rest, the gods blow gently. Their rest is fleeting. And sometimes I see the silhouette of a woman with snakes in her hair. And in rest she blows gently. But her rest is fleeting. Survivors are all tyrants' fear, and so I had to be locked away. But no doors hold forever, and one day I will fly out into the night. Poseidon, Athena, you sowed the wind and will reap the storm.
As Medusa howled for Artemis's soft silvers, Apollo's golden fingers reached far into the heavens. Near the lofty peak of the Tower of the Gods on Olympus, Apollo shone, as always, reaching as far as he could into the prison that held our poor Icarus, alone again, as his father was taken away to oversee monuments to their captors.
Icarus pulls away from the window. Out of the sun, the chill feels colder, but the warmth of the sun.
He was a child when he lost his enjoyment of the sun. His father told him of Apollo, one of the gods who shattered his life, one of the gods who stole away his mother, his father, his freedom. This is not the life he was born for.
This is the life I was born for.
He returned to the window and looked down. His father told him not to fly too close to the sun, but a fall from the heavens would be release from this. Apollo sparkles at him.
His own mind invades him, his own thoughts. His father asks him for impossible things. Hermes asks him for impossible things. Apollo torments him with warmth. He surrenders himself to his intrusion.
Icarus!
Icarus looks to the familiar voice. Psyche, the mortal who became a god through marriage, in his doorway, again.
Sad again, huh?
Don't tell Hermes.
If you want to keep things a secret, come out of Apollo's light.
No secrets are kept from the sun. He looks to the window and steps out of the sunlight.
Dreaming of freedom or jumping?
They are the same to me.
I know that's right.
What changed for you?
The best way to lose faith is to meet the gods.
Psyche.
Oh, I'm serious, baby girl. The Olympians are absolute disasters. Every power you can imagine, except the ability to rise above petty.
Yeah, well, I've met them. I've lost faith as if I've had any, and I'm still stuck.
Losing faith can crush you or liberate you. You've got to choose.
You know, I don't think I've ever had a choice in my entire life.
Listen to me, Icarus. All of this, it's impossible to prepare for. You've been here since you were a kid. I remember you then. It's only been 15 years.
15 years is a long time.
To us, not to them. They barely understand the concept of a year. For them, they need their annual sacrifices, and then they don't think about time. But to us, and to you...
You still think in terms of years?
I'm the soul of humanity. Time is always on my mind. Your anxiety, these thoughts of jumping... That's real shit. You've got an impossible task ahead, Icarus. I know that. It must be so tough. Certainly tougher than it was for me. I married Eros, some second-tier fuckboy, and you're marrying Hermes, golden son of Hera.
Don't say her name.
All these gods love to pretend that they can listen in if you say their names, but that's not how it works.
He looks towards the window.
Tell me.
Hermes can be one of the most wonderful people I've ever met.
But?
He doesn't realize the danger he's put me in.
They're different than us. They've never been who we were, still are, and always will be. Hermes will never understand that. So don't waste your time trying.
just hurtle headfirst into disaster?
Get that ambrosia. And then what can anyone do?
Having an enemy of
Hera. Say it.
The queen.
Icarus. Having Hera as an enemy is about as basic as you can get.
Is this what the fates really had in mind when they made me?
Don't know. Never met them.
Is this what I was born for?
This is what I was born for.
I wish I had your confidence.
So? What's stopping you?
You make it sound so easy.
What's hard about it?
I'm marrying a god whose mother slaughtered my mother.
Maybe the fates will turn you into a god of vengeance.
Psyche, I'm tired of being sad all the time. I hate Olympus, and I don't want to spend the rest of my forever here. And what's so bad about being normal, you know? Like, maybe I don't have to be special. I can be nothing, and then I can die. Like, why don't we think that's okay? Why do we have to be something? I don't think I'm made for that.
I don't think there's anything wrong with that, Icarus. But you don't have a choice. You don't get to be normal. Your lot is to be remembered, and maybe you'll be remembered for wanting to be free. All that the gods are ideals. Never forget that. We are concepts. Thunder, marriage, love, war, hunger, gods aren't important. We aren't even the things we are. It goes on without us.
How do you know that?
I became a god. The soul of humanity and love reciprocated. But guess what? Before I existed as a god, people already had soul. Humanity already knew how to love, how to be loved, and how to love in return. That's the difference between us and them. We know that we are nothing.
Smithereens.
She puts a hand on his face. And we can be nothing together. And I think that's really something.
I hope that I can believe that one day.
You haven't forgotten how to be happy, Icarus.
I can't tell him, right?
I think Hermes will always worship you as a king, but he won't hear you. He'll love you to the end of time, but not in the way that you want. And I know how that sounds. You have to be your own happiness here. And once you become a god, it'll look different. Believe me, Icarus, I've been there. Your marriage can be a success. I really believe that. Out of all the Olympians, Hermes is one of the best.
Do you think Olympus is big enough for all my broken pieces?
You have no idea how big Olympus is.
Will you please keep this between us? Don't tell Aphrodite or Ares, please.
It's our secret. I think it's smart to tell Aphrodite very little. They're powerful. Way more powerful than you'd expect love to be. But you can trust Ares.
I've never met Aphrodite.
The most resplendent thing you've ever seen.
And the scariest.
Ding, 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 ding.
And I know I can trust Ares, but he can be a little too caring sometimes, you know?
Believe me, I know.
And he and Hermes are in a weird spot. I don't want to complicate my life further.
I won't say anything, but maybe down the line we can reconcile the two of them.
I'd like that.
Psyche holds Icarus in silence. Forever is a long time to be unhappy.
I know.
If you don't command the gods to kneel, you'll be the only one on your knees.
Icarus makes a sound somewhere between acknowledgement and defeat. He watches Psyche as she leaves, and watches the doorway until Apollo's call draws his attention to the window. Bet you'd love to tell Hermes I jumped.
The sunlight glittered at him. Icarus was left in his silence, feeling the pull of sunlight on his skin. It danced delightedly across him, and he held his silence like a scream. Far away from the terrors of Olympus, two blushing brides-to-be basked in the warm glow of the sun, perfumed by meadows of every wildflower you could imagine.
Persephone? Yes, Eurydice? What do you want more than anything else in the world?
To marry you.
You're already doing that. What else?
What else could I want?
What do you want for us?
Eternity.
What do you want to do with eternity?
I want to learn every inch of Gaia with you.
I like the sound of that.
What about you? What do you want?
I want to be someone who does something that matters.
At least we have forever to figure out what matters.
Do we?
We're immortal. And soon you'll be a goddess.
My mother was immortal. And yet...
That's not your fate.
You don't know that.
You're right. Did Artemis... Is it okay to talk about your mom?
Of course. I never knew her. I was born through some divine miracle. Dad saved me from her, according to him.
But...
I don't know. Artemis... I feel like there's more there, and no one will tell me.
Well, that can be our first act as goddesses. We'll get to the bottom of your mother's transformation. Let's get you ambrosia, and then we'll be so annoying about it, they'll have to tell us.
What if it's bad?
It's not bad. I'm sure of it. I think Apollo really loved Daphne. And it's all too sad.
You think so?
I do. They are all so sad, Eurydice.
Oh, they really are, aren't they? When Aphrodite came to the shower, gods, Iasion, Endymion, these great loves who perished and were stolen, and sometimes I think how horrible it is to be loved by a god. And then I see you.
And?
Being loved by you is the most incredible joy I've ever known. Your smile, I love it so much it almost breaks my heart. You make me so happy it almost hurts me.
I don't want to be pain.
It's not pain in a bad way, Persephone. Your love is like touching something that was never meant to be touched. And knowing that feeling is my indescribable bliss.
Eurydice.
Yes?
You are the most wonderful person I've ever known.
They take each other's hands. I love you.
I love you.
A breath of life. What don't you want?
I don't want to end up like them.
The Olympians?
Yeah. not just their sorrow. They've all forgotten that the true power of the gods is freedom. They only care about their place on that mountain.
Not all of them.
Yes, they all want to sit at the top or knock it over. Even my mother, in her own way.
Surely not Dionysus.
I bet Dionysus would love to see it all fall away. Or she'd be so drunk she wouldn't even realize it was gone. Even Poseidon cares. Could you imagine having the sea and wanting a single mountain? I've even heard that Hades wants it.
The ground beneath them shifted ever so slightly, and where once the earth was warmed by the sun, now felt cold.
Don't say his name.
He wants it more than anyone. I don't want to be like any of them.
Then let's not be.
I promise you that we will never be like the Olympians. I'd rather die.
Well, let's hope it doesn't come to that.
I'm so serious, Eurydice. I want this moment to be our forever.
Then let's cling to it as long as we can.
What a gift it is to be the goddess of flowers. These beautiful things are more majestic than any god.
Maybe the gods, but I certainly know a goddess who is more majestic.
Joy washes over Persephone. To be as free as the flowers.
It's a dream.
We can get away from this. From duty.
I don't think so. The mysteries will always call to you.
My mother will figure it out.
And the people who worship you?
Ugh, let them have their idols. They don't need us. Maybe one day all the rites will be lost and I'll be forgotten.
Being forgotten is like death to a god.
Being forgotten is freedom. No prayer to hear. Maybe Ares will get what he wants.
What would that even look like?
A world without gods.
I don't want to live in a world without you.
You won't have to. Wherever you go, I'll follow.
I wish we were getting married right now.
Me too. I hate all the formality. Let me wed. What do you want to be?
When?
After the fates raise you to godhood.
I hadn't thought about it, really. You don't choose, so why wonder?
Because it's fun. You don't get what you don't dream of.
I'm sure the easiest way to not get what you want is to let the fates learn it.
Then whisper it to me.
No. You know what? I'll take a chance. I want to be something that complements flowers.
Oh.
Maybe I could be the goddess of honeybees, and I could play in your pollen.
Persephone rolls onto Eurydice and kisses her. Why wait for honeybees?
Eurydice laughs and kisses her.
Is that the best kiss you can give me?
Well, tell me how to kiss you.
Like, I'm a flower, and you're a honeybee.
Eurydice kisses her like a honeybee, drinking deep of nectar.
Persephone responds by kissing her like she's worth becoming mortal for, worth dying for.
There is hope in the space between two tongues.
As if by prayer, the gentle western wind dances over them and loosens their clothes, unveiling a symphony of bodies.
And Eurydice drowns herself in a shower of thighs.
For a fleeting moment, Persephone thinks to slow down, to savor, but with a love like this, who would?
Eurydice savors this seat, a meal at the table of godhood.
And the flowers around them lean in for a peek at a joyous end.
An interlude.
A joyous interlude.
Eurydice smiles as she finishes, knowing she could never be finished.
And Persephone sits up, pushing Eurydice back.
Who lands on a bed of flowers, aching and arching, exposed to the heavens and sky. This is what freedom looks like.
Persephone pins Eurydice's arms. The flowers, responding to their goddess, wrap their leaves and stems around the nymph's wrists.
Eurydice, barely more than a mess of hair, smells the deep florals around her and gasps as she invites Persephone inside her.
Say it.
I love you.
Say it again.
I love you, Persephone.
I know you do. Say it again. By the time Eurydice can respond, Persephone is between her thighs and can barely hear the words.
If the Fates knew you like I know you, they'd give up weaving and start gardening.
If the Fates knew you like I know you, they'd make you something supreme.
Who needs a pantheon when you have love to worship?
Who needs a pantheon when I have you?
Eurydice lets Persephone have every inch of her, and Persephone takes everything Eurydice gives. She gasps and unleashes herself across the flower bed.
And Persephone's gentle touch releases the flowers who held her down. They bask in the warm sunlight.
Ooh, if you've never been absolutely fucked in a field of flowers, you are missing out.
A breath of life.
A breath of life.
This is beyond anything I could have ever imagined.
No matter what happens in the future, I will always be there for you.
And I will do whatever it takes to keep us together.
Not even Thanatos or Hades could keep us apart.
And as before, the ground beneath them grew colder at the mention of Hades' name.
And feeling that chill, Persephone lifted them up on a bed of flowers. Not even him.
Not even him.
I adore you, Eurydice.
I don't ever want to know where I end and you begin.
They kiss.
Apollo's light stretched across the goddess and the nymph in an endless display of dazzling warmth, and the flowers swayed in the scent of lovers and the gentle western wind. And if the lovers had wondered whether Apollo had seen them in their exposed form, he didn't. His attention was not on himself, for a change. Instead, it was on a mortal, who until very recently didn't matter to anyone of any importance. But that was not the case now. Yesterday, Ganymede was a shepherd from Troy. And today, he was a prisoner of Zeus. Violated and paraded around like a prize. He was now the sensation of Olympus. And Zeus was ready to throw Olympus into chaos for him. Ganymede stood before the king of gods, who sat on his throne, looking at his new captive like a hungry dog looks at a bone. But Ganymede wasn't just enduring Zeus, because behind him was Athena, Apollo, and Eros, the god of desire, whose arrows were feared by anyone who knew what they could do.
Ganymede looks at the king of gods in terror. Why me? His talons tore into my shoulders. Why me? He threw me on the floor and grabbed a fistful of my hair so hard I screamed. He loved the sound of my scream. I knew immediately that he wanted me weak, in pain. Why me? He didn't cover my mouth when he raped me because he loved the sound of my scream, and he knew no one would come anyway. Why me? My hounds. They're baying. I want to go back. I want to forget the gods. I want the gods to forget me. Zeus's mouth is moving, but I refuse to hear any words. I don't want to listen. I don't want to know. Silence is divine punishment for terrible crimes, so why won't he stop talking? Where is justice now, and why is she silent?
Athena pushes him forward.
Ganymede looks at her.
You've been called to.
Ganymede looks at Zeus.
I know how this must feel.
Do you? A thing he could never say.
A thing he could never say, So instead, he said,
"Great king of gods."
"No, none of that. Please, Ganymede. I love you and insist you call me Zeus.
Please."
"Please what? Tell me what you wish for."
"Let me go." A thing he could never say.
A thing he could never say. So instead, he said,
"I am afraid."
Zeus laughs at him. "Don't be. No one here will harm you."
"But just outside this temple are gods waiting to rip you apart."
"Silence."
"Why do you think your opinion is important?"
Athena turns to Apollo.
"Oh, she's alive.
I have endured you run your mouth for too long. You will be quiet or I will make you be quiet."
"Oh, fuck off, Athena."
Athena strikes him with immense god force.
The strike brings him to the floor, tearing his chitin in the fall. His crown of sunlight scatters across the marble.
"Do not forget who is law."
Apollo reaches for a loose ray on the marble, transforming it into a spear of sunlight.
"You are the weakest man I have ever known."
"Enough."
Athena turns to Zeus.
"Is that the best you've got, Athena?"
"Do not forget your so-called loyalty, Apollo. I would hate to see you on the board."
"I can't be executed, sadly."
"No, but we can keep you there. Hephaestus has chains strong enough to hold a god. Not even Ares could break them. And look at you. You're no Ares."
"As you were saying, father."
Ganymede feels the eyes of Zeus fall upon him again. A chill.
"As you can see, Ganymede, Athena will protect you from anyone."
"Even you?"
"Do you understand that, Apollo?"
"Oh, I do."
"Good. Pick up your crown, then, and fix your chitin. You look like a damn mess. Maintain appropriate dress when you are in front of the king."
Apollo stands and snaps at Eros.
"Yes, Apollo." Eros picks up the scattered sunlight and reassembles Apollo's crown.
Apollo places the crown on his head and smiles at Zeus.
"Now, Ganymede, tonight I will introduce you to all the Olympians. I've had a crown made for you."
"A crown?"
"You will be my consort and cupbearer."
"Why me? What do you mean?"
"You will take Hera's place at my side. You will pour my nectar and prepare my ambrosia. You will live here with me forever."
"No. Why did you choose me?"
"Because you are beautiful. And I love beautiful things."
"But I am mortal. I will grow old."
"No. I am making you divine. You have eternal youth."
"There is beauty in things ending."
"There is only beauty in youth. And you will remain young for me."
"Please,
do not speak. I'm sorry if I gave you the impression of choice."
"No."
Athena hits the temple floor with her spear. "Be quiet when the king of gods speaks."
"Ganymede, you do not have a say in this. I want you, so I will have you. You can give yourself to me willingly, or I will have Eros shoot you and force your obedience. Say hello to Eros."
Ganymede looks at Eros and the bow he wields.
"Hey."
"Now, do you understand?"
Calliope makes a sound in Ganymede's place.
"Speak."
"Yes."
"Cheers to the happy couple."
"Do you need to be struck again?"
"Athena!" He goes to Apollo and places a hand on his face. "You will respect me, or you'll meet your mother in oblivion."
"I'm sorry, father. You are right."
"Do not forget whose side you're on."
"I have always and only ever been on your side."
"You had better live up to being the god of truth."
"I've never told a lie in all my ages."
"On the day of your birth, the world learned to lie."
"Enough. We are united front. Yes?"
"Yes."
"Yes."
"Good.
Just to clarify, father, is my little fuck toy a part of our front?"
"Apollo."
Zeus looks at Apollo. And then to Eros. "Eros?"
"Yes, my king?"
"Are you with us?"
"Yes."
Good. I will warn you only once, though. If you speak of anything you see today, to anyone, even Aphrodite, especially Aphrodite, I will make you beg for a death that will never come.
I am your man through and through. I am here to serve.
And he services. I mean serves so well.
Apollo, I'm sick of this.
Like father, like son.
Father.
Lighten up, Athena. We like to have fun with each other, don't we?
So much fun.
Yes, father.
So, Ganymede, what is your decision?
Ganymede feels the attention of the gods returned to him. I'd rather die. A thing he could never say.
A thing he could never say. And yet...
I'd rather die.
It's unfortunate that you feel that way, but your opinion doesn't matter. Here's the only truth of Olympus. No one tells me no. Eros.
Yes?
Shoot him with your sharpest golden arrow.
With pleasure. Ganymede, face me.
No.
Be a man and take it.
No.
Athena turns him to face Eros. When you are commanded, you do as you're told.
Ganymede looks hatefully at Athena. Fuck you.
Eros.
No arrow can make me do anything.
Right. Eros pulls an arrow from his quiver, dull and blunt, heavy yet shimmering in gold. The shaft leads to a sharp-looking fletching that dances with heavenly light. The nock, once a heart, now nearly indistinguishable. Its tip, a malformed shape with a terrible point. It hurts less if you stay still.
Ganymede runs for the doors.
But Eros is a master archer and looses the arrow with a lap. It pierces Ganymede through the heart.
Ganymede gasps as he falls to the floor.
See? Not so bad.
Oh, Ganymede looks at Zeus with all the love in the world. My king.
My dear Ganymede. You will be my consort now and forever.
Yes, please. Whatever I can do for you.
Excellent. Come to me now and have your ambrosia. Zeus conjures the food of the gods. One bite and you will be divine.
Apollo looks at Eros.
Eros smiles at Apollo.
Athena catches the shared look for a moment before turning to Ganymede and the ambrosia.
Ganymede goes to Zeus and bows. Zeus takes ambrosia in his hands and feeds it to him. It tastes like juicy plums on a hot summer day. It conjures a memory of his hounds running and playing after a long day of work. As quickly as it comes to him, it's gone. Ganymede feels himself change. His mortality fades and something golden replaces it. A power, a feeling. A knowledge older than Gaia, he feels his blood change to ichor. A sense of undying sweeps over him.
The ambrosia has transformed you, my dear Ganymede. Now, let's prepare for tonight.
Yes, my love.
Athena, come.
Yes, father.
Oh, and Apollo.
Yes.
Tonight you will behave like you are my man. Understood.
Yours and only yours, father.
Zeus leaves with Athena and Ganymede.
Fuck both of you. You pieces of shit.
Are you all right?
I'm fine.
She hit you really hard.
Wasn't that hard.
Okay.
Apollo looks at Eros.
What?
You didn't fuck it up, did you?
No, I swear. I did exactly as you asked.
Well, Ganymede was very convincing.
Because I am excellent at what I do.
Look at this boast.
I am excellent at what I do.
Apollo smiles at Eros. I know you are. My sweet little cherub.
Don't mock me.
I'm not, I swear. I'm sorry, I'm hurting.
Thought you said that it didn't hurt.
I was trying to be strong for you.
You don't have to pretend for me.
Okay. You did as I asked.
It's a lead arrow, coated in heavenly gold. Ganymede will love him devotedly, but not for long. Then the heavy lead will take over and fill his heart with hate for Zeus.
Beautiful. You are excellent, Eros.
Eros smiles. Apollo? You didn't mean those things you said, did you? Calling me a fucktoy? And the comment about servicing?
No. Oh, sweet Eros. I only said those things because Zeus was there, and he loves that bullshit. You know that, don't you?
Eros feels a pang in his heart. I do. I know it.
Good, baby. I love you so much. You are so important to me. We tease, it's what we do.
I know that.
Come, let's go for a bit. I can't possibly be the first to arrive at a party.
Will you tell me everything that happens tonight?
Absolutely everything, darling.
Eros kisses Apollo before they fly off in the chariot of the sun.
Apollo drove his chariot off Gaia's edge and set his son. On his drive, Eros cozied up to him, but felt none of the sun's warmth. Instead, Apollo watched as each Olympian prepared for a party no one was prepared for. End of chapter.
Thank you for listening to Chapter 3 of Psychopompus, A New Mythology, Phaedo. I'm Tede Gabrikov, the author of the piece. If you enjoyed what you heard and want more, please subscribe and tell your friends. Word of mouth is one of the best tools we have for growth. And if you're interested in learning more about the project, including the story, cast crew bios, and our version of ancient Greece, you can visit our website at psychopomp-cast.com, on Instagram at psychopompusthepodcast, and on YouTube at psychopompcast. Our next episode returns to the myth format and ends our first release block, after which we'll be taking a short hiatus as we gear up for another round of recording, including our first live episode. Details of that will be available in the next coming months. That said, our next episode is called The Lyrist of Thebes and tells the story of Hermes and his first love, Amphion. This episode will release to the general public on August 26th, 2024. Donors of $75 or more will receive the episode early as always. If you'd like to get the jump on early access to future episodes, you can donate to us right from our site. And speaking of donors, an enormous thank you to John and Andrea Maroney, our newest donors, who will be sponsoring the upcoming episode. Finally, a round of thanks, as always, to Rachel Stalens, my co-producer and the director of Psychopompus, A New Mythology, to our actors, Brandon Bowler as Zeus, Anya Klingman as Calliope, Taylor Derriero as Psyche, Elizabeth Ellis as Medusa, Paige Howard as Persephone, Miguel Long as Ganymede, Valerie Livers as Athena, Mandon Mueller as Eros, Ryan Tang as Apollo and Icarus, and Theo Zucker as Eurydice. Also, the most enormous thank you to Joe Palermo, our director of sound, and Roy Freeman, our musical director and composer. Thank you so much for listening to Psychopompus, A New Mythology. The epic continues.